The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. From 1861 to 1865, the people of the United States were engaged in a murderous civil war. Those years of conflict were the most costly epoch in all American history, not only in money and in hundreds of thousands of wasted lives, but in the complete breakdown of our society. It became, in many places, what was called a war between brothers, especially in some of the border states, where the sympathies of the citizens were sharply divided between the causes of the North and those of the South. And death was a constant companion to them all.
Tomorrow morning, sir, when my neck is snapped by the tightened rope and I hang dangling in the air, I will still be alive. In pain, but alive. And once I'm finally what you call dead, all it will mean is an end to that pain.
Your conclusion?
Why go to the trouble of causing me pain one moment, only to end it bountifully the next? It seems hardly worth the trouble.
Our mystery drama, A Matter of Conscience, is chiefly based on the Ambrose Bierce classic short story, Parker Addison, Philosopher. It was especially adapted for the Mystery Theater by Arnold Moss and stars Christopher Tabori. I'll be back shortly with Act One. It was early in the autumn of 1861. The American Civil War was only a few months old. To most Americans, the idea of hunting down and killing their own countrymen was still an unusually disturbing experience, and a little unreal. The thought that the enemy they were shooting at, and who was shooting at them, was not from another part of the world speaking a strange and alien tongue, but another American, still took getting used to. But it wasn't long before that changed. Whatever compassion there might have been began to give way to the cold, unrelenting hatred of the enemy.
They tie you! Change, huh? They tie you! Ready? Aim! Fire!
Corporal, have your men pick up the body of the prisoner. Convey it to the place which has been designated. Assign four men to dig the grave, then bury the body immediately. By order of the commanding general.
Would you care for another egg, Parker?
No, thank you, Mother.
You've hardly touched your breakfast, son.
Not very hungry. Oh, Mother, you must stop fretting about me. Remember, I'm a big boy now.
You're the only son I have. And with your father going off to the war, you're the only man left in this big house.
That won't be for long, Mother.
What are you saying?
I can't stay out of the war much longer.
Parker, you're so young. But I need you, Parker. I need you desperately. So before you decide to do anything rash...
I'm going to have to leave you, Mother. I, too, am going off to war.
No.
I've already signed up.
When do you go?
This morning.
This morning?
The Union regiments that arrived last night have taken the town. The Southern troops were badly beaten. They're in retreat.
I know that. But just the same, I wish you waited. But obviously, there's nothing I could have done to stop you.
Thank you, Mother.
Your father, all the rest of the boys in gray will be very proud of you. And I'm sure Lorinda will be the most proud.
I'm not so sure.
Have you told her your decision?
Not yet, Mother. I wanted you to know first.
Well, she has a right to know. Lorinda's going to be your wife.
Mother, it's quite possible y'all may not be so proud of me.
Why do you say that?
My deepest convictions, what I believe about this war, are not, I fear, exactly the same as yours and father's, or even Lorinda's.
We all have a right to our opinions. That's what we've always tried to teach you. And if your philosophy differs a little from ours...
My philosophy differs more than a little, Mother. I've signed up with the Union Army. I'm a sergeant in the Army of the North. I waited for my mother to burst into a flood of uncontrollable tears. Instead, her jaws hardened into two iron bands. Her eyes became burning coals of fire. After a silence I thought would never end, she finally spoke.
Parker Anderson, am I to believe what you have just told me? That you have joined the enemy?
I've been struggling with my conscience for weeks. My sympathies, Mother, are with the North.
Then we'll just have to get along without you. Parker, you're a traitor to your country and a traitor to your loved ones. You must do what you conceive to be your duty. But your father and I taught you. It's been our way of living, always. But I never for a moment dreamed...
I'm not ashamed of my decision. Don't try to make me. Please.
I understand. Now, I would be most grateful if you would leave this house. At once.
Wish me well, Mother.
I can't do that, Parker. Not to the enemy of my country. Not to a stranger.
My mother's words lashed across my face like the sting of a whip. I knew it was utterly useless to try to justify, in her eyes, what I was about to do. Within an hour, I was standing at attention before Colonel Herman Braille of the 4th Indiana Infantry.
Mr. Addison?
A correction, sir. With your permission, Sergeant Addison.
I beg your pardon. You signed up with us yesterday, did you not?
Yes, sir, I did.
I understand you're a local boy. You live right here in this town?
That's correct, Colonel Braille.
And still you wish to fight on the side of the Union? On our side? What might be called the side of the enemy?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Call it a matter of conscience, Colonel. I have searched and examined the issues of this war carefully and most seriously. My sympathies are completely and unwaveringly with the side of the North.
To the point where, if it were necessary, you are prepared to give your life for our side?
A correction, Colonel. My side. Yes, Colonel. I have a fairly well-developed sense of duty.
Only fairly well-developed, Sergeant Addison?
Well, you might call it slightly above average.
At ease, Sergeant. Now, please be seated. That chair over there.
Thank you, sir.
Sergeant Addison, a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
Have you any thoughts on how you might be of the greatest service to the Union cause, to the Army of the United States, and more specifically to this regiment?
I leave that decision to my superior officers, sir.
I'm aware of that.
Without intending to sound boastful, I can say that I'm a first-rate shot around rifles since I was 8 years old.
I see.
And for whatever it may be worth, I've had as much schooling as any boy my age.
Very good.
I've been riding since I was 5. I know horses.
Excellent. And you surely know this part of the country fairly well, would you say?
Much, much above average, I would say. There's hardly a foot of ground within 30, 40 miles of here I wouldn't recognize as well as I would my own face.
And then I think my question has probably been answered. How you might be of greatest use to this army. Sergeant Addison, we need certain information very badly and in a hurry. By sometime late tomorrow night, the hour is not yet set, we pursue our attack on the enemy with everything we've got.
I follow you, sir.
We give him no relief. However, after yesterday's battle, We're not sure how many of his troops he may be able to regroup or what fresh forces he may have in reserve. He may be preparing to counterattack in strength.
I understand, sir.
At the moment, we're not sure exactly who would be attacking, what specific regiments, their number, their disposition, their morale. We have only an approximation of all this intelligence. We must fill in the blanks as fully and as quickly as possible before we dare move.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Addison, do you think that you could get this information for us?
I could try, Colonel. I would do my best.
I would not order you to do this, understand? Should you refuse or hesitate, I would not hold it against you.
I volunteer, sir, to try to get the intelligence you require.
Spoken like a brave soldier. We will provide you with a Confederate uniform, rank of sergeant, I believe. You'll be supplied with false identity papers, a name other than your own. You'll represent yourself as having been separated from your own company and regiment in the confusion of yesterday's battle. Maybe even that you were wounded. Yes, wounded. Good idea.
Then what, sir?
You will slip unnoticed, we hope, beyond the enemy lines under cover of darkness. Tonight. Once you have penetrated those lines, we'll give you 12 hours to gather your information and make a safe return.
And should I not return within 12 hours?
We'll assume that you're in fairly serious trouble, Parker. If you should be so unfortunate as to be discovered to be taken prisoner as a spy, the only questions you're required to answer under the Articles of War are...
Name, rank, army identification number.
Nothing else. Oh, one more thing. If you're taken, there's nothing we can do to help you. We won't even acknowledge you. You're as good as dead. Johnny Reb, with no disrespect to your former friends and countrymen, is especially sensitive to being spied on.
You're right about that, sir.
Particularly by a man they would regard as a turncoat, the lowest, vilest kind of traitor. Hardly worth the rope by which they'd hang him to the nearest tree.
I'm not unfamiliar, Colonel Braille, either with the concept or that behavior. I promise to do my best to avoid such an uncomfortable and embarrassing end.
One slip, and you're finished. Remember that. Here are your false papers. They were all prepared. I knew I could depend on you.
Thank you, sir.
I salute you for your courage. Ah, let's see now. Who are you? Oh, yes, yes. Sergeant Shelby Worth of the 7th South Carolina.
Well, I sure do appreciate them kind words, sir.
Now, be careful, Parker. The next time we meet, I do not wish to see you hanging from the limb of a sycamore, a rebel rope around your neck. That would not be very amusing.
No, sir. Death is not usually very amusing.
Finally, I want you to know that we trust you. All of us, with our lives, completely and implicitly, as if you'd been one of us from the very start. Above all, we respect you.
I'm extremely touched. Thank you, sir.
Good luck, my boy. Lieutenant Howard. Come in, Lieutenant. The man who just left this room is Sergeant Parker Addison. You're to watch him like a hawk every minute that he's here. He is to suspect nothing. I don't trust him any further than I can throw him.
A man who can turn his back on his friends, his family, and his country is a man with whom we may have small sympathy. At the same time, he is a man whose deep moral convictions many of us are compelled in some strange way to admire. This is the course young Parker Addison has chosen. Where will his courageous choice take him? Directly to Act Two. As night began to fall, Parker Addison, in the uniform of a Confederate sergeant, slipped unnoticed through the southern lines. There was enough of the lingering daylight for him to see that the fighting of the previous night had been hard and murderous. The taste and smell of battle were still in the air. Among the splintered trees lay wrecks of men and horses. Stretcher bearers hurried about, carrying away the few who showed some signs of life. The dead were piled up like so much cordwood, while trenches were being dug to receive them.
I raised my hand to my head. It was crudely bandaged to give the appearance of a serious wound. I limped slightly, as though I had taken a shot of grape in the leg. Before long, I joined an endless moving line of suffering men, their faces drawn, their ragged uniforms spattered with crimson. A grizzled old soldier hobbled up to me.
Yeah, that were a pretty good fight last night, weren't it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
You ever see our boys put up such a fine scrap? Never.
That they did.
Even if we did take somewhat of a licking.
Well, we can't win them all, old man, can we?
Ain't that the truth? Well, where were you hit?
A piece of shrapnel caught me here, right here over my right eye.
It give you much pain?
Enough. Hoping I don't lose my eye. Oh, then I caught a little grape here in my leg. How about you?
Well, I took a big one here in the groin. Blood just keeps pouring down into my boot. Where you from, Sergeant?
South Carolina. Got separated from my regiment. You?
Kentucky, 7th, Company C.
You lads hurt bad?
Bad enough. If 1 out of 10 of us is still a-living, we'll be doing pretty good.
1 out of 10? How about the others? The other companies?
Well, from what I heard, we're not in very good shape. Not good at all.
Where do you think you boys be now?
We couldn't say.
I mean, did you have any cavalry support or artillery?
Oh, we did, but...
Who is your commanding general?
Well, our commanding general... Now, you just wait one solitary minute, mister. You're asking a lot of questions. Questions that ain't really none of your dang business, so it would appear.
Oh, I didn't mean
what,
to...
What makes you so dang nosy, anyway?
Soldier, you're absolutely right. It is none of my business. Why, I was just hoping that things were not quite as bad for all of us as they seem.
Well, I can understand that. You know, a couple of weeks back, a young fella come along out of nowhere, just popped up, started his smelling and his sneaking his way around our company, poking a lot of questions at us.
What happened?
We poked one too many. Turned out to be a dang Yankee spy. But, we took good care of him, we did.
You did?
Oh, you should have seen him flapping around in the wind, strung up on the branch of an old oak tree. Funniest sight you ever did see.
Any idea where this column we're in is headed?
This column of the walking dead? Word was passed along that there'd be some kind of field hospital somewhere up ahead. A couple of miles more, maybe.
Oh, I see.
Army surgeons will do their best to patch us up and put some of us together again in good enough shape to get us back to fighting. That is, if we live long enough to get to ever see them surgeons.
We kept limping along in the black night, the whole long struggling line of us. Suddenly, down near Whitewater Creek, we blundered onto a hastily thrown together field hospital. By the light of their crude lamps, the doctors were busy sweating over the wounded men. 3 or 4 soldiers, rifles at the ready, stood about as guards. Before I could get out of sight, one of the officers spoke to me.
You're next, Sergeant.
Thank you, sir.
Now, what seems to be your trouble?
Now, if you don't mind, sir, I'd just as soon you took care of my old friend here. Oh, I think he's in much worse shape than I am.
Now, you sit down on this log. Now, I'll bring the light a little closer.
No, please take care of the old fella. I can wait. He's been hitting the groin, and he tells me that...
I will make the diagnosis, Sergeant. Now, sit down. Now, first, let's get these filthy rags off your head and see what you've been hit and how. Just how badly.
Why, it really isn't all that bad.
Will you stop being a hero, Sergeant? Now, we got all the heroes we need piled up out there like so many fallen logs. Now, you just sit still.
The wound, it doesn't trouble me all that much.
Now, look, Sergeant. Some of these men are on the brink of death. Now, if your wound doesn't trouble you all that much, now, please tell me what in heaven's good name you're doing here. Now, why aren't you with your regiment, Sergeant,
Worth, sir. Shelby Worth. You see, I just got separated in the last night's little fracas.
How?
Well, I can't really say. One minute I was with my boys, and the next, I just wasn't.
I see. And just hold still while I snip these stinking rags off your head.
And I really would rather you didn't.
You'd Sergeant, you let me see your papers.
I don't believe I can do that, sir. Just as I became separated from my company, well, somehow, in a way I can't explain, my papers got separated from me.
Who are you, Sergeant? Who are you?
I just told you. I was hit by shrapnel and last night's...
Sergeant Worth, or whoever you are, you weren't hit by anything. There isn't so much as a scratch any place on your head. Now, you stay where you are. Hey, where do you think you're going?
I'm getting out of here, but fast.
You hold on there. Sentry, after that man, the one who's running. Over there. Shoot. Take care.
Only the velvety darkness of the night saved me. That and the fact I knew exactly where I was. Like a rat scurrying around in a trap, frantically sniffing out the one opening that would mean freedom, I began to run in the direction of my home, my pounding heart ready to burst inside of me. When my feet would carry me no more, I dropped, exhausted, and lost consciousness. Where am I? Who is that?
It's me, Lorinda.
Lorinda?
Oh, yes.
Oh, what on earth are you doing here?
I had a feeling. I can't explain it. That you might be in trouble. Serious trouble. I came to look for you, my darling.
I don't understand how you found me. Well, anyway, one thing's certain. You got to get out of here.
I'm going to stay with you, Parker.
No, that's crazy. You can't. Right in the middle of the fiercest fighting of the war.
You must stop talking. You must rest. And then you got to come back with me.
I can't do that, Lorinda. We're at war. I'm a soldier.
I can see that. Your uniform.
No, you don't understand. This is not my uniform.
Not yours? How can that be?
I can't talk about it now. We're in the gravest danger here. You've got to leave, Lorinda.
Not without you. I won't. Parker, I love you. I'm going to be your wife.
I know, my darling. And I love you, but... Oh, but please, please go back home. I'll take good care of myself, I promise.
I'd be much happier if you came with me. You'd be safer. Parker, come with me and rest.
Come with me. You're under arrest. Come with me.
Who are you? Oh, where'd you come from?
That's the man, Captain. The one who ran away while I was examining him.
Thank you, Doctor.
Where's Lorinda?
Who?
Lorinda? The girl I'm going to marry.
I don't know what you're talking about. You fell, hit your head on this rock, and passed out.
Passed out?
And now, Sergeant, or... whatever you are, on your feet. Keep moving straight ahead. And remember, the shooting end of this rifle is sticking right into the small of your back.